Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Every time the Brewers get near 500 or at 500, it turns to be a loss the following game. They are now 0-8, 0-9, if you technically want to talk about the start of the season, but 0-8 in times in which they had the chance to get to five or over 500 and didn't do so. Now, just to make the postseason, they've got to win, you would assume, 4 out of 5 against the St. Louis Cardinals as they go down to St. Louis now for 5 games. Against the Redbirds. In one of those games, they'll actually be the home team because of a game that was lost earlier in the season due to COVID at Miller Park. So the Brewers, now they have to face the Cardinals and hopefully do some damage there. Joining us now, Mark Saxon, the senior MLB writer covering the Cardinals for The Athletic. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How about yourself? Thanks for inviting me on your show.
No, we're glad to have you. We're doing pretty good. Obviously, as a baseball fan, you keep waiting for the Brewers to catch fire, and it just never happened. The Cardinals have done enough to get to the point where they're sitting in second position and sitting in the postseason right now. But tell me a little bit more about this Cardinals team, because the Cubs have not played great baseball since they started off 13-3. So what are they feeling down in St. Louis right now?
Yeah, probably very similar feelings to what Brewers fans are going through right now. The Cardinals have not been above 2 games over 500 or below 2 games below 500 all season. So they've kind of been playing this dance of sort of mediocrity, too, and even maybe for similar reasons to the Brewers, and that's just that they haven't hit. Their particular, poison is a lack of power. They just don't have a lot of guys who are hitting home runs and doubles. They're something like 25th in the majors in slugging. We've seen a lot of that in the Central, a lot of kind of down offenses for whatever reason, probably has something to do with some really good pitching in both the NL and AL Centrals, the only teams they're playing. So, but I think until the Cardinals can show something, and we're, as you said, down to the last handful of games, nobody's going to take them too seriously as a deep October threat.
I know Christian Yelich had kind of alluded to the fact that some of the bigger names in baseball may not be able to hit as well this season. Do we attribute that to the fact that they cannot go down the tunnel and look at video until after ball games, that they can't make adjustments in games, per at bat, so to speak? Do we look more at that and say, you know what, they do rely heavily on going down to that tunnel and looking at their at bats?
Yeah, that's a real thing, I think. We had an interesting discussion with Harrison Bader, the Cardinals center fielder, and he was saying it is a challenging year for him because not only can he not do what you just mentioned and make adjustments in-game by looking at video, because just so people know, the video rooms are locked in all these stadiums. You're not allowed to congregate in there. What the Cardinals do is they look at video in their hotel rooms. They have an iPad that they have this app where they can download any of the relevant video they need. But it's not the same, right? You don't have veteran teammates around that you can ask advice of and maybe take a look at it for you. You don't have a hitting coach. You don't have a video coordinator. So, yeah, I mean, look, did the game do just fine for the 80 years when they didn't have any of that stuff? Yeah, but it's different this year than it was in the previous few years. There's no doubt.
Then you talk about the pitching. You mentioned that some pitchers this year have had really, really good seasons. And again, I go back to the fact that, well, maybe the hitters just haven't been able to do nearly as much to kind of counter what pitchers are throwing up at them. But we saw a rash of injuries early and then it just kind of subsided. What do you take away from this shortened season? What do you look at coming up in the off season for the St. Louis Cardinals as well?
Well, I mean, their pitching injuries really didn't subside. They lost Dakota Hudson for the year. We'll find out probably today whether he's going to have Tommy John surgery. He has an elbow injury. We know that. They lost Miles Michaelis to another one to an elbow injury very early in the season. Carlos Martinez got sick with COVID. He just strained a muscle in his side last night. So they have been hit with a lot of pitching injuries. On the other hand, it still remains the strength of the team. For example, if they go into a three-game playoff series that first round, they'll have Adam Wainwright, who's having a fantastic year. They'll have Jack Flaherty, who's not, but everyone knows how good he can be. And they'll have Kwang Hyung Kim, who's been absolutely outstanding and has the advantage of, you know, people haven't seen him because he's coming from Korea. So their pitching is actually pretty strong, and they knew that would be the case because depth was kind of the order of the day going into the season.
I want to go back to Wainwright. Wainwright, for the first time in a long time, it's just because the guy's healthy. He's still got good stuff, but first time in a long time, he's been healthy, and I don't want to say for an entire season because of the shortened season, but really coming into the season, he was pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's right, and he hadn't been for probably 3 years before that. In a way, like ever since he tore his Achilles tendon in 2015, he hadn't been the same, but, you know, it did take some time, but look, he's 39 years old. He's certainly not pitching like it. You'll see him on Saturday against the Brewers. He's a guy who just does it in a totally different way. You know, a veteran guy, as you mentioned, he'll throw fastballs and curveball counts. He'll throw a ton of curveballs, including in fastball counts. He'll keep them guessing. You know, he might barely touch 91, 92 these days, but he's still got one of the best curveballs in the game. It's fun to watch when he's on. May not be as fun for the hitters, but I do think that having that pitch, you know, the comp might be a Rich Hill if you thought about the success he had, you know, at 39, 40 years old. That's kind of what Adam Wainwright is replicating. And the curveball is a very tough pitch to hit a home run on, and it's pretty obvious when you watch swings nowadays. That's what guys are trying to do pretty much every pitch.
You mentioned Kim earlier. He goes up against Corbin Burns tonight. Both of those guys taking the hill for their respective teams. Tell me a little bit more about him.
Just a really good veteran guy. He was kind of the co-ace over in Korea last year with Josh Lindblom. Those guys really dominated over there. Before that, it was him and Hyunjin Ryu. He's going to keep the ball down, got a ton of pitches. Again, I think it's just really valuable to him that none of these guys have seen him. Now, the Brewers are an exception to that. They have seen him this year. But, you know, just, again, a guy who uses his veteran savvy, and he's facing hitters who are kind of defenseless because they've never seen his looks. Left-handed. He really does have pretty good stuff, too. He's just a good, solid pitcher who I think probably will be their number two starter if the playoffs go according to plan.
One of the guys that is expected to hit and is Goldschmidt. And Goldschmidt has been solid down there with a 904 OPS, 306 batting average, six dingers on the season. I guess with, you know, a guy like Christian Yelich and so many other of the, quote, stars struggling, what has been the secret for Goldschmidt this season?
Yeah, Goldschmidt's hitting profile has really changed, and the team is pretty confident he did that very purposefully, intentionally. And if you look at his slugging, it's actually down appreciably. He's not hitting a ton of home runs. On the other hand, he's getting on base at an extraordinary rate. And he is driving balls. He's hitting doubles. He's just kind of returned to what he was maybe very early in his career, that good, pure hitter who is going to make contact hard almost every at bat. He's going to get on base a lot. I think for a while he thought he needed to be that 35 to 40 home run guy, more of a pure slugger. He was willing to strike out a little bit more, but he's changed his MO. And I think, you know, he's been the least of the Cardinals' problems. If they just could have gotten maybe one or two guys to match what he was doing or come close to matching it, you know, everything would have been different. But as it stands, he stands out, you know, like a scarecrow in a field in this lineup.
What has this season been like for Cardinals fans? I mean, I know here in Milwaukee, no tailgate. I mean, they live for the tailgate. They live to go to Miller Park. They put 3 million people through the turnstiles. It's a big fan base in St. Louis, big fan base in Cincinnati. I know those three fan bases so well. So tell me what it's been like for the Cardinals fans not being able to attend games, not being able to be really a part of all of this.
Yeah, very similar. You know, the Cardinals typically, you know, follow right behind the Dodgers and National League attendance, so they're always up there. You probably knew that. It's not a tailgate scene so much because their stadium is downtown, but it is a nightlife scene around there. The Cardinals actually, you know, own a lot of those buildings now and those restaurants. But you know, a total bummer, and the team responds to the energy in the stadium, and they've talked about that. You know, Cardinals fans got that reputation, which can be a double-edged sword at times, of the best fans in baseball. And one of the reasons is they're almost, almost exclusively supportive. You don't see a lot of booing here when guys are struggling that you might see in a Philadelphia or a New York or Boston. And so, yeah, it's been a loss. But like everybody says, you know that phrase, it is what it is. Everybody else is dealing with the same thing, and so you just kind of do the best you can with it.
Yadier Molina, before I let you go, at what point does he say this is it?
It's hard to get him out of the lineup, much less out of the game. I mean, this guy, you know, he took Ryan Braun's bat off his left forearm the other day, got hit by a pitch about 4 inches from there 4 days later, and played the next day. So he's tough. And he loves the game. You know, last night, blowout, 12-3 loss. He's out there blocking balls in the dirt. It's kind of what he does. So I think Yadi's the kind of guy, they're going to have to peel it off his back, the jersey. He's going to play as long as he can. He might make rumblings here and there about retiring. But I think even if the Cardinals decide he's not their guy, I think he'd see what's out there with other teams. So I don't think there's any chance he doesn't play next year.
Mark, give me your thoughts real quick as the Cardinals' effort to the postseason. We talked about the Cubs, but the teams around them within the National League, yeah, pretty solid. Atlanta with 34 wins on the season, and they're a team that's already locked in. Certainly the Dodgers and the Padres are already locked into this thing. The Cubs are locked into this thing, but they have, you know, like I said, since the 13-3 start, somewhat struggled. They are sub-500 since then. But give me your thoughts about the Cardinals' chance once they get there.
I'll say this about all of the central teams, and their records are not pretty, but I do think teams are not going to want to play the Reds because of their pitching, because they're relatively hot right now. I do think the Cardinals and Brewers have uglier offensive numbers than maybe some teams do, and it's not entirely deserved. I think if you look at the strikeout rates of the AL and NL central pitching staffs, you'll find that they're the tops in Major League Baseball, and it's not even close. The pitching is really good in the central. And so I do think that the central in general could make more noise than people are expecting once the playoffs start. And I'll put the Cardinals in that category because they can match you with their pitching. And if they can just get that key hit here or there, they could pull an upset in the first round.
Great stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes, Mark. And I'm sure you'll be down there doing a good bang-up job covering that series, the 5 games coming up here down there in St. Louis, okay?
Thank you, Bill. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. That is Mark Saxon, senior MLB writer covering the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic. And he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they're going to treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I've been telling you for a long time about the Neumel Medical Center, and I went downstairs today. I went down to the gym just because I got back last night. I got back late last night. And, boy, it's just been like one kind of thing after the other with little stuff that's gone on. I had a computer that went down, and I had some other things happen. But and the eating habits have been really, really good, but over the last couple of trips, it hasn't been great. I had to admit, I went face first into a couple of plates of mini corn dogs. So I get back on the scale today, and you talk about motivation, man. A couple of pounds, and I'm just like, come on, you know. So, look, but overall, since I started the Neumel Medical Program, the Neumel Medical Center, overall, I didn't even really kind of put two and two together just because at times it's kind of gone up and down and it hasn't done exactly what I wanted it to do. But, look, I was 325 a while back, 325 a couple years ago. Okay, I was 292 in January, and I stepped on a scale today, and I'm 239. I'm hanging right there at 239. 86 pounds, and it doesn't feel like it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I feel great, but it's just, you know, you kind of make that commitment, you change your mentality and your eating habits, and people always say, well, how do you do it? I say, it's kind of like restoring a car. You don't take a custom car that you put all the time and effort into and all the emblems and all the pieces of chrome and got all the rust off and you had it painted and you restored it back to the kind of the factory, so to speak, and you don't take it out then and drive it through a mud puddle, you know? And if you do, you wash it off, you clean it up, and you get it right back to pristine. That's kind of what you do. You know, you just follow the program. You change some of your habits. You be real cognizant of what it is that's going into your body. And you do a lot of good things in a lot of different ways. And with the help of my friends over at the Neumel Medical Center, they put you back on the all-in-one weight loss program. It's been fantastic. It really has. And you can't do anything if you don't call. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center, and they can help you out with low T and kind of being the brain fog and the lack of energy, low T treatments. Or if things that during the quarantine have not been good in a certain room of the house, if you know what I'm talking about, they can help you out with that as well. All you got to do is call 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. When we come back, coming up here in just a little bit, we're hoping to hear from Aaron Rodgers. But start getting your fantasy football questions in. Bottom of the hour coming up, Kate Majuk from BallBlastFootball.com. That's BallBlastFootball.com and RotoWorld.com. Give us the hashtag AskKate over on Twitter, or you can start calling in your questions here in the next about 5 minutes, as we're going to kind of run through as many of these as we possibly can in the time that we have with her. But does fantasy football for a living. Been very, very good at it. So, again, go to BallBlastFootball.com and see her stuff there. But Kate Majuk is going to be coming up, and give us the hashtag AskKate. AskKate. So you can go ahead and give her a shout there. So we're going to go ahead and get your questions in and all that kind of good stuff. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. By the way, I want to say hi to Ashley, listening to us down in Chicago. Says, I love listening to the program, and I am starting nursing school on the 12th of October, officially on my way to becoming a nurse practitioner. Can't wait, but love the program. Congratulations. Congratulations. Good to know. Listening to us on the radio.com app down there. Unless, of course, you're in northern Illinois, then you can pick us up on the 1250 AM signal bursting out of Wisconsin, out of Milwaukee. You can get us there as well. This one's from Charmed. Charmed writes in the Wendy's email inbox, going back to your question that we asked a little while ago. Aaron Rodgers is the most intriguing quarterback to me right now, not because I'm a Packers fan, but because he's been playing so well. How much better do you think he can play? Well, I think the only area that maybe gets better is completion percentage, really. I mean, he's only taken one sack. He's throwing the ball downfield. He's throwing the ball intermediate. He's throwing the ball quickly. The run game has been there to support him. So, you know, everything has been good. The only thing that can get better is completion percentage. And I think that's probably more dependent upon the wide receivers than it is Aaron Rodgers. Because Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had, what, 6 drops in the last game? I think he's credited with a total of 5 drops, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here. Aaron Rodgers on the season through Pro Football Focus. Now Matt LaFleur said they had 6 drops in the last game against Detroit. I counted five and only one or two drops in the first game against Minnesota, but they credit him with a total of six drops. Tom Brady leads the way with 8 drop passes. Then there's Matthew Stafford with 7, Carson Wentz, then Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones each have 6 when it comes to the guys around him dropping the football and affecting his completion percentage. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, when you talk about completion percentage, Aaron Rodgers 17th in the National Football League at 67.6%. So it's not great, but it's also due in part because he's had, you know, more than his fair share of drops so far. So we're going to get into that discussion coming up here in just a little bit as well. We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers in a short bit. Also, start getting your fantasy football questions in. Go to the hashtag AskKate. That's hashtag AskKate. And fire them at us over there on Twitter. You can just tag me as well, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. And you can send those to us also. So there you have it. This is Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, when he was kind of befriending Drew Brees, when we talk about the matchups between those two guys, this is Aaron Rodgers talking about Drew Brees.
Yeah, we used to train together at Fitness Quest 10 back in San Diego County when I was living down there, and he's, you know, had a house there for many, many years. So I think for 2 years or so, we trained at the same facility. We throw together, got to know each other, got to see his work ethic up close. And I believe in those 2 years, he won the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP. And the next year, we won the Super Bowl and I won the Super Bowl MVP. So it's a good couple-year run for us down there. You know, we've played, I believe, there twice over the years. Haven't won, hasn't really been close. Both games, I feel like we got kind of smacked. But at home, we've obviously had a lot better success opening with him in 11. Winning a couple other close ones. Tom's giving me a thumbs up here, yes. But it's been some battles. You know, they've obviously scored some points against us over the years, for sure. I mean, the opening game at 11, I believe, was a high-scoring game, 1-touchdown game, and it was 42-34. And then we played another one that was close at home. And then at their place, you know, I think they put up 50, maybe both times, at least one time. So, you know, you got to score points against him. He's a talented guy, has been for a long time. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever do it. So it's, you know, it's going to be a challenge for our defense. Their defense, I have a ton of respect for their coordinator and their personnel. I think they had a lot of really, really great players in defense and some good young players who've taken some steps the last couple of years. With veterans on the outside, and Lattimore is obviously a really talented guy. Played against Drew Norris for a long time. Malcolm Jenkins, I've known Malcolm for years, played against him at a couple of different teams. You know, he's a super talented, heady, smart guy, versatile, can play in the slot. I played nickel for many teams over the years, you know, but just a really, really solid player. And then Williams, you know, was a young ascending player. Backers, you know, the Marios, you know, one of the best in the business, obviously up front. You know, Cam Jordan, Cal Bear. You know, he's had a phenomenal start to his career. I mean, it seems like he's just been getting going, but I think he's been in, what, 5 or 6 years now, maybe more. He's just a really talented player. So it's a really good defense and be a good test for us.
Aaron Rodgers also talking and reacting to Sean Payton. Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, he had talked about the Packers' offense and said, look, that offense, it just puts so much pressure on other opponents. Defensively, offensively speaking, because the Packers offense not only has been good, but they've put up a pretty large amount of points, something they haven't done since, what was it, 1919 or something like that. And you know, Aaron Rodgers reacts to what Sean Payton was saying.
I don't know if that's a compliment or what. I mean, we pressure teams with our offense. I mean, we've been efficient. I don't really know how to respond to that. I don't really have a response. If that's a compliment, awesome. We've been efficient. We've been scoring points. We had a, you know, big turn there in the second and third quarters, being able to, you know, score in the 2-minute, score coming out and get a pick six to take it from a 4-point deficit to a 17-point lead. Minnesota, you know, really after the first quarter, we scored a number of possessions in a row. You know, I think the strength of our defense can be our pass rush. So if you get ahead of teams, it kind of lets those guys, you know, get some more clean rushes. But yeah, you know, we're just trying to be efficient at this point. We're two games in. We feel great about it. Obviously, you know, there's overanalyzation of everything in comparisons to different years and starts of seasons. It's nice to be on this side of the comparisons at this point.
Aaron Rodgers also was asked if the Saints defense kind of be kind of like the Vikings, where they're going to try to take away Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been a very versatile and dynamic weapon, much like Kamara has been for the Saints. So is that going to be, does he believe that's going to be the focus for the defense coming into Sunday's game?
You know, it wasn't necessarily the Vikings stacking the box. You know, I think that that would be a slight mischaracterization of the plan. I would say it was more that, you know, they were playing their defense, which is quarter half based, you know, so they do have the opportunity to get a safety down the box or play invert to get an eighth element in the box. But I don't think it was a heavy box game plan. I think they were just playing their defense. The issue was that, you know, we were able to hit some passes outside and run the ball effectively. So that kind of brought that safety a little more in the box at times. And when they're behind over the years, Mike Zimmer has played a lot more single high. And so I think it was more the score and less the plan. I think the plan was to play more two high and protect the young corners. This last week, it was definitely the plan to try and stop the run with their front six or seven and play two high. Teams adjust, especially teams like, you know, they're in the Bill Belichick tree. You know, when we played Bill 14, it was a great great chess match, I thought, as he adjusted, we had to adjust, and there was a lot of back and forth teams to do that. Some teams are coming with a first half plan and a second half plan. You know, some teams are coming and have a first half plan, scrap the whole thing and run something different in the second half. So it's really the first quarter and third quarter are good barometers, but you got to be able to change and adapt quickly out there.
So there you go. Aaron Rodgers talking a little bit about the upcoming contest against the Saints. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Go to BudLight.com. Coming up tonight on the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's 7 to 9, a special time tonight, and it's the reunion, if you will. Doug Russell, Mike Wickett, they're going to be on the panel joining me tonight. Coming up 7 to 9, the Bill Michaels Huddle, again brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next. Automotive, they want to buy your car, and all you have to do is either stop in or go online to any one of their locations, as a matter of fact, whether it's in Wisconsin or in Iowa, because any of the locations can help you out. From Ferrari to Geo Metro, your car's never been worth more. No gimmicks, no pressure. Sell without the challenges of posting it online or, you know, processing titles and license, all that kind of stuff. Just simply go to VanHornAuto.com. See what I'm talking about. Go to VanHornAuto.com, VanHornAuto.com. I've been to them now four separate times and love the experience. Just got the new Chevy Silverado. So in the garage is the Genesis and the Silverado sitting on the outside of the house, and just got the best of both worlds and absolutely love it. The experiences have been great. You can go to VanHornAuto.com and click on Sell My Vehicle for the Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer. You can service your financing as well, or finance your service as well. If you're thinking about one of those unwanted or unnecessary or necessary but timely repairs, I guess is the best way to put it. 12 months, zero interest, up to $2,000 on service work done there as well. So a lot of good stuff going on at Van Horn Auto. They are family-born. They're employee-owned. Again, go to VanHornAuto.com. That is VanHornAuto.com. A couple of emails to get to real quick. Got one from Jack who just says, I'd love to believe that my Brewers are going to make the postseason. I just don't see it happening. I think the Cardinals and the Reds are the teams to beat. Kyle says, hello, Bill and Joe. The Brewers are going to be in the playoffs. And Joe, the Brewers play two on Friday. So it's going to happen. And that is our buddy Kyle. This one is from Joe at Stoney, or Joe Stoney. Joe Stoney? Okay. No, it says Joe at Stoney. And Joe at Stoney says, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the more intriguing matchup. He's playing the best that he's played since 2011, in my opinion. I'm excited to see where he can take this team. I agree with you. Why not the Green Bay Packers to be the front runner for a championship this season? Then Sarah writes in Wendy's email inbox, and she says, I got a couple of fantasy football questions, but I wanted to know, does Aaron Jones, or if Aaron Jones has a big game, does he then get paid? I don't know if they're talking to Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Jones kind of alluded to the fact that he thought maybe they were talking, so I would assume, but if he has a big game against the Saints and they go on to another victory, this conversation is probably just going to continue until something is indeed figured out, whether it's he and Bakhtiari or just him, whatever. But Aaron Jones is certainly making a case that he is a guy that deserves to be paid because of his versatility. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this. Welcome back to the program. The Green Bay Packers have a pizza. The official pizza is the pothole pizza. It's from Quick Trip. And you can get entered for the Packers opening drive sweepstakes. You can win a 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. Enter the sweepstakes by purchasing any 20-ounce Coca-Cola or the pothole pizza with your Quick Rewards card. You purchase them together, you get 10 bonus entries, my friends. And the pothole pizzas are fantastic if you haven't tried them. If you haven't tried them, just absolutely fantastic. You're going to have a chance to win. Each weekly winner is going to have a chance to win the $25 per yard in the Packers opening drive as well. And you got a shot at winning that 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. No purchase necessary. See the store for details. That's from our friends over there at Quick Trip. Aaron Rodgers asked, would it be a problem if Devontae skipped practice all week long but still played on Sunday night?
I don't think it's problematic at all. I think if he doesn't practice, I would feel completely comfortable if he wakes up Sunday morning and says, I'm going to play. I think we'd all feel great about it. He's, in the meetings, so the mental part is not anything you worry about. You know, it's physically, is he going to be ready to go and feel good and confident? But if he does by Sunday, shoot, I want him out there. And I don't care if he practices at all.
So Rodgers was also asked about that Superdome because, look, you usually go down and face Houdat Nation. It's a nightmare when it comes to the sound down there, but limited amount of fans on Sunday night. Here's his opinion.
Well, it won't be the same atmosphere that we played there over the years. I mean, I think we played there in 2008 and 14. Thanks, Tom. And I bingo. I hit Tom five times today. It's a tough environment to play in. New Orleans, Atlanta, Minnesota for so many years. There's some domes that are just a little bit different. That's a tough place to play. But, I think the biggest thing is going to be the energy. Obviously, they had a long trip out to Vegas, playing Monday night football, short week. They get Sunday night football, so it's not as short as, playing a noon game Central Time. But there's a lot of pride in that locker room, a lot of veterans, a lot of guys over 30, who've been around and played a lot of football. And, both the Saints and us, have aspirations, that I think are real. They're a really talented team, and so are we. So it'll be a good measuring stick for us.
So Darren Waller, Raiders tight end, playing against the Saints the other night, he came up big. I mean, that guy had some hops to him, and he was running some people over as well. So does that give the Packers some ideas? You get a big guy. I mean, Waller is different. He's an athlete. He's a speedy guy, not like a Mercedes Lewis, but he could be more of a Sternberger. Sternberger can be more like him. So you ask, does it give you ideas in that game plan?
Well, I think every plan is different. I think, Oakland obviously had their Las Vegas had their own plan going in, and obviously that kid, we saw him last year. He's big and athletic and can really run at 6'8". He's a matchup nightmare for most players in the league. So I think, just they felt like they had a good matchup based on how New Orleans was playing them. That's a matchup that they got opportunities. Kind of like us in week one against Minnesota, you know, Devontae had a lot more opportunities. Obviously, he went out in the third quarter, week two, but they played us a lot different. You know, the Detroit did. They played a lot of two-high safety, and we're trying to take Devontae out of the game. So it just depends on what team's going to try and take away, and that kind of determines who gets the more matchup opportunities.
Aaron was also asked, is he seeing more like open, wide open receivers in the first couple of weeks of the season?
I think it's really the first part. You know, we have guys open, so the ball is able to be dealt a little bit quicker than years past. To answer your question, I don't remember a time in the recent history where we've had, you know, multiple plays where we have guys that are wide open. You know, the difference between maybe college and the NFL is wide open in college is about, you know, 7 or 8 yard separation. Wide open in the NFL is 2 or 3 yards. And we've had some college style guys open the first couple weeks. And a lot of that's due to the, you know, minor schematic changes we made in the offseason, implemented during training camp, and also the execution. I think when you put that all together, you're getting guys open on time and the ball is able to come out. Obviously, I made a concerted effort to deal it. You know, when I'm playing on time and in rhythm, the offense, I think, can be more efficient as long as we have guys open. But the two have been really correlated this year, the timing and the rhythm, and guys being open when they need to be open.
So there you go, Aaron Rodgers talking to the media. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. By the way, coming up after the top of the hour, that's when we're going to get into some fantasy football. Just had to delay it for a couple of minutes, but after the top of the hour, we're going to get into the fantasy football aspect of this thing. So keep hitting us up with Ask Kate, hashtag Ask Kate, over on Twitter. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers got some good news on offense. Center Corey Linsley back at practice after injuring his hand against the Lions Sunday. And lineman Billy Turner able to go after missing time with a sore knee. It's the Packers and the Saints Sunday night in New Orleans. The Saints coming off a 34-24 loss to the Raiders on Monday night. Quarterback Drew Brees.
We know what wins football games, and we know what makes it very, very difficult to win football games. And obviously, we made way too many mistakes out there in order to win that game.
Aaron Rodgers says he became friends with Brees around 11 years ago.
Yeah, we used to train together at Fitness Quest 10 back in San Diego County when I was living down there, and he's, you know, had a house there. So I think for 2 years or so, we trained at the same facility. We throw together. I believe in those 2 years, he won the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP. And the next year, we won the Super Bowl and I won the Super Bowl MVP. So it's a good couple-year run for us down there.
That's Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show.
We are back. Glad to have you. Hey, a reminder, coming up tonight, 7 to 9. 7 to 9. Special time tonight for the Bill Michaels Huddle. 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock this evening. Going to be the Bill Michaels Huddle, and it's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. 5-step filtration process that ensures a cleaner finish, no lingering aftertaste, and different flavors as well. Cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, strawberry. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com to see more information and all the different things that they offer with Bud Light Seltzer. And tonight, the special reuniting of Mike Wickett and Doug Russell. For those of you that listen to us in the Milwaukee area, you know these guys. And they had a show together years and years and years ago, over a decade ago. And so they're going to be reunited on the program tonight. That's going to be the panel coming up this evening on the Bill Michaels Huddle. Hey, the Badgers say even with playing football this year, they will still lose $70 million. So they will get about 25 to 40 million, maybe a little bit more than that, depending on what the estimates in reality really are. That's what they'll gain by playing. And because I know Ohio State, they've been publishing their numbers. Michigan's been publishing their numbers. So has Penn State. And those are all well over $100 million when you talk about the possibility of not playing football. So there's a lot of millions of reasons to play football this season. But the Badgers came out and did a little did a little calculating and said, hey, even with us playing and getting the revenue off of the television package from the Big Ten Network and the conference, we are still going to lose. There's going to be a shortfall, as they say, in the budget of up to $70 million. You know, we should take really a couple of segments at some point and maybe bring in like Mike McGivern and some high school people. What is the ramifications going to be down the road for guys that are seniors or juniors this year that either are or not going to be able to play or are, but they're going to play limited schedules. Coaches are not traveling like the way they used to. You're going to have to do a lot of this stuff either via YouTube or have videos and such and files and uploaded to Dropbox and sent to coaches in that particular manner. Recruiting itself is going to take a hit. Players are going to take a hit. Aspirations of scholarships are going to take a hit. There's a lot of fallout, and I think we're going to see ramifications from this particular year, COVID of 2020, have a long-lasting effect. It's probably going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 years before this, you know, barring any kind of other, you know, pandemic or such something catastrophic, that before we see the return to, quote, normalcy and to where the train is completely back on the tracks, because there's so many other tentacles to all of this that's going on in our world. The immediacy is we're not seeing football with fans in the stands. We're not able to go to cover games. We're not able to see normal practices and such, you know. But there's so many other things that lurk below the surface that I think are going to have ramifications in all of this as well. So it's I think at some point we need to take a deeper look into what this year has meant, not just to us economically, but to the sports world in general and the trickle-down effect. So there you have it. Coming up next, get your fantasy football questions in. An extra long segment coming up. Kate Majuk, ballblastfootball.com, rotoworld.com. That is next on the Bill Michaels Show.
In Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.